A bit of a special edition of the Swarmcast. David Eichelt here with HawkeyeInsider.com, part 24/7 Sports. Obviously, with everything at a standstill right now in college sports, we're going to continue to be pumping out high-quality content and a lot of it at HawkeyeInsider.com, so you can stay on top of everything despite the coronavirus pandemic going on. And one of the things we're adding right now, first debut real episode of it, is Sean Bach, our fantastic recruiting analyst, along with Dylan Byrne, a great, great part-time writer for us, got together to record a recruiting podcast to give you the latest on what the real scoop behind Iowa athletics is. So hope you enjoy it. We're hoping to kind of pump this out, especially with, you know, obviously, like I mentioned earlier, the downturn in real movement and news right now in the Iowa sports world. So hope you find it enjoying, and let's just dive right into it.
Sean Bach of HawkeyeInsider.com, 24/7 Sports, joined by Dylan Byrne, my coworker, the man, the myth, the legend. Dylan, how are we doing today?
Good, Sean. How about yourself?
Hanging in there. You know, school, they gave us an extra week with all this stuff going on, an extra week of spring break. So that's been nice. But, yeah, just trying to stay busy, do whatever I can to keep things going. So how's things out there in Iowa City? I'm home, by the way. I forgot to tell you that.
No, they're fine out here in Iowa City. It's kind of a ghost town out here. No students, and you know, a lot of people working from home. But you know, it's definitely different. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, no, I can imagine. I miss Iowa City, that's for sure. I love here in Chicago, home in Chicago, but not during times like this. So it's been fine being home. I mean, get meals cooked for me and stuff, and still have to do my laundry, but other than that, it's been okay. So
that's like a perk there. Yeah,
no, for sure. So me and Dylan, with all the stuff going on, the off season, obviously now a little longer off season than we had hoped for, we're gonna try and give you a recruiting podcast. Maybe every week, maybe every other week, depending on what time of the year we're at or what time of the off season we're at. So it should be something that we get going here at a weekly, maybe every one or two weeks. We'll have to see. So we want to hop in to some basketball stuff. Obviously, with the season being over earlier than we expected, there's some movement on the transfer end of things. The new transfer portal allows players to put their names in the portal, seek other options, talk to other schools, and see what it's like out there. And then if they decide to, they can put their name out. And if the coaches want them back, then they can go back to that school. So one of the big names that hopped into the portal earlier this week was DJ Carton, freshman guard out of Ohio State. I'm sure you people from Iowa recognize him. He's from Bettendorf, co-Mr. Basketball last year with Jay Kilmer, who's now at Upper Iowa. DJ was a five-star point guard, had offers from Indiana, Michigan, Ohio State, Iowa, Marquette, Wisconsin, just tons of offers. A guy that really blew up heading into his junior year, got some decent amount of offers, and then going into his senior year of high school, really shot up in the rankings a bit. And he's a guy that a lot of Iowa fans have been wondering about. Obviously, there's some buzz that, as you know, he took a leave of absence from the team. I believe it was in late January, early February, some point before, I think it was after or before the Indiana game. I can't recall exactly. But he took a leave of absence from the program. A lot of speculation. He said it was for mental health issues is why he left the program for a bit and didn't play for the rest of the season. A lot of speculation coming about that maybe he'll come to Iowa, maybe he wants to return home. And now he's officially in the transfer portal. So, Dylan, has there been any buzz that you've been kind of hearing about on that end?
No, I mean, you know, if you look at Iowa's scholarship count right now, I think they're at 12. You know, you're going to lose Kreener and Bakari and then Riley Till. So that puts you down to 9, but then they have five incoming freshmen. So that puts you up to 14. So there's one more that's going to have to go. I don't know who it's going to be, but Iowa just doesn't have the spot right now. They just don't. And it, you know, it kind of You know, for the fans, you know, it kind of stinks because, you know, anytime, you know, five-star point guard from your home state, you know, those don't come around in Iowa very often. So you kind of wish this was a guy that Iowa could pursue, but the scholarship numbers just don't really, you know, support it right now. So, and I mean, you know, you look at early reports coming and, you know, Iowa's not even mentioned, you know, Texas, Marquette, Louisville, Creighton, Texas Tech, Oregon, Illinois, Seton Hall are just a few notable schools. So a lot of buzz early, and you figured that that's what we were going to get. You know, this is a really good player, and he's going to have an impact wherever he ends up. But I just don't think it's going to be Iowa right now, Sean.
Yeah, I had to agree with you at this point. I don't really see Iowa reaching out at this point and really showing much interest. Obviously be a good story for those, for him to come home, but I don't think that's really in the cards right now, as I've been told. But I think a school that I mentioned on our VIP boards a couple days ago, a school to keep an eye on, could be Marquette in Wisconsin. I do know Wisconsin hasn't been mentioned, but I've been told that their staff has reached out at one point. Marquette too, I think, is going to be a serious contender. One thing I should note that with due to the coronavirus outbreak, sorry, I had to mention it because it's really affecting some of the stuff going on in the sports world nowadays and just life in general. But I'd expect the schools that really were in deep with DJ during his recruitment to have an advantage here, because at this point he can't visit any schools. And the fact that he's been to some of these schools before that have been reaching out to them now, you'd think that they get more of an advantage at this point. So I think Marquette was in his top six at one point. Don't remember Wisconsin being in there. There's few others. I mean, Illinois is close to home. I don't know how much of an impact they'll play. I don't think it'll be much. But I think Marquette's a really realistic option at this point. Obviously, things can change, but I'd have to say the Golden Eagles may be a school that you want to keep an eye on. But yeah, I think, Sean, that'd be great.
I pulled up the top six here. It was Ohio State, Iowa, Michigan, Marquette, Indiana, Xavier. So, I mean, you know, the only
I don't expect Xavier. I mean, I don't know if they've reached out to him or not, but it's farther than Ohio State.
Mm-hmm. So you have to think that, you know, Marquette could have their foot in the door just for, you know, the fact that you mentioned there that he can't go anywhere, especially if he wants to make this decision quickly, which, you know, I'm not sure on that, to be totally honest with you.
Yeah, and I think Marquette makes a lot of sense too, just because they allow their point guards to play downhill. And with Marcus Howard graduating, as far as I know, DJ, if he's eligible next year, could have the keys to the offense, which could make that pitch from Marquette really interesting. So it'll be interesting to see how this kind of develops. There's a lot of transfers out there in the portal. Iowa really hasn't been that interested in, as far as we've seen. Obviously, we saw last year with Bakari Evelyn, the first grad transfer that ever during the Fran McCaffrey era at Iowa. And then I think they kicked the tires with a couple others, but there really wasn't much traction. Oh, DJ Harvey was one. But he obviously, I don't believe he was eligible this year for Vanderbilt. So we'll have to see. I don't think, unless players leave, I can't really think at the top of my head of any players potentially leaving at this point. So I think it'll probably be quiet on that front as far as we know. So next thing we're going to get into here is the Murray twins, obviously Keegan and Chris Murray, the twins from Cedar Rapids, Xavier, who played their post-grad year at DME Academy in Daytona Beach, Florida. Both committed to Iowa in October and really kind of caused some controversy among the fan base. Obviously, these guys weren't really – they were kind of fringe D1 players, maybe, I think I would say, coming out of high school. But over the summer, once they got to DME, really worked on their bodies, really got just a whole lot better, and really kind of won that Fran McCaffrey and I were really taking a risk on here. Obviously, I got the chance to catch up with their head coach at DME, Coach Wes, earlier this week. Had a good really conversation. You can look at that article up on HawkeyeInsider.com. And just to see, it was kind of cool to see, kind of pick Coach West's brain, talk about the development that those two had and what really college coaches thought about them. I think the story, too, of how Iowa came into the gym, watched them, wasn't ready to offer, but those guys really, really brought it. Really brought it when Iowa coaches were in the gym to see them play. He said they played their best game of their life. And obviously with being from Cedar Rapids, their dad being one of the most beloved Hawkeyes of all time, Kenny Murray, you knew they were going to play with a little chip on their shoulder and just really bring it. Because, I mean, they grew up big Iowa fans, and obviously that's a dream school for them. So just to kind of see that development, see how they worked really hard, just relentlessly, and see how everything's coming together was really, really fun to hear and really fun to write about.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, and I mean, that was a very good piece, Sean. I read it earlier today. And, you know, if you guys haven't read it, I do recommend it. I believe you made that one free, right, Sean?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, anybody can go read it. Really gives you good insight into, Chris and Keegan and their journey down at DME. And their coach had a lot of really good stuff to say about them. But one thing that kind of jumped out to me was he said, you know, they work hard and they're hungry. And that kind of, I felt like, really epitomized, you know, this Iowa team this year. We didn't get to see it really play out. Obviously, no Big Ten tournament, no NCAA tournament, so you didn't really get to see how far they could have gone. But it just felt different. I know, Sean, you've been watching, you know, keeping tabs on the Hawkeyes for, you know, the last few years now. But, you know, just it just felt different. And that kind of, I feel like that, what the Murray twins have there is going to fit, really well at this next level with the Hawkeyes, especially if, you know, if everybody returns. I mean, they're probably not going to play right away. You know, it's if everybody comes back, it's a loaded roster. Fran's going to be searching for minutes for, you know, 10, 11 guys, and he doesn't have them. So, but to pass the torch to them, you know, these guys come in, Luca, and these guys get to, teach them the ways, and then, you know, being they already have that in them is only going to make them, I think, that much better.
Right. And I think a lot of people too are looking at the short term, picking up these twins. Obviously they had great years at DME. They need to get their body right. They need to beef it up a little bit. I know both of them have put on a decent amount of weight, but it's not like these guys are going to come in for 1 year and that's what we should judge them on. I know Fran McCaffrey, I mean, look at Luca Garza. I mean, he's a different case because Iowa needed big and he played very well as a freshman, but he wasn't what he is now, like, obviously. So I think these guys, it's going to take time with them. I do think Keegan will probably make a bigger impact as a freshman. I don't know how big that impact is going to be. But I think when you got a guy that's 6'8" and can shoot as well as he can from the perimeter, you got to find a way to put him on the court. And then with Chris too, I don't know if he'll redshirt this year. I mean, it's a possibility. I think of the two, he's probably the most likely to redshirt. But he's a guy that isn't necessarily the build of a Ryan Kreener, but could probably play in his role too, kind of like that junkyard dog mentality. And also a pretty good scorer too. He averaged 18 points per game this year at DME against pretty solid competition. So I think what's kind of going to come about from these guys is, you know what you're going to get from them. Obviously they still got a lot of room to develop, but I think there are going to be guys that are going to fit into a system and be solid 4 or 5 year guys, depending on what they do with the redshirts. I think those are the type of guys that you can build around. And I think that's the deal with this whole class too. Like, I don't think any of these guys are going to come in and be like superstars right away, but I think they're guys that are going to find ways to make an impact over the next, 4 or 5 years and really kind of boost that culture that Fran McCaffrey has built here at Iowa. And I think the Murray twins are going to fit right into that fold. I mean, they're going to be not as high impact guys as freshmen, but as they get older, progressively are going to get better each year.
Yeah, certainly. And I mean, you know, Fred McCaffrey's never been a guy that goes after these one and dones. You know, it's hard, you know, it is Iowa after all. And I mean, you know, you're not attracting the guys that, you know, play for you 1 year and then they skip down to the NBA. So this is what Fran McCaffrey's been doing. You know, he builds his program through, you know, getting guys in and developing them. You know, Luka Garza comes in, maybe top 100 player, depending on whose rankings are going off of. I can't remember where we had him. I think he was outside the top 100, just maybe a little bit, but now he's, you know, he could be your national player of the year. So it just kind of speaks to Fran McCaffrey's ability to build a program. And, you know, it's hard when you're doing it at Iowa. We're not really you're not really a basketball school. You're more of a football school. So for Fran to have this type of success, and then, you know, you're getting guys like the Murray twins, you know, you have a really, really good guards in Aaron Ulis and Tony Perkins, and then the big guy, Josh Ogundele. It's a really good class. And, you know, I think if you'd have talked to me a year or so ago about the Murray twins, I probably would have said no, but you just look at the work that they put in for the post-grad year, and sometimes that's really all it takes.
Yeah, I think they're going to have more motivation too once they get to campuses. They're going to want to get on the court. I mean, obviously we don't know how many minutes they'll play next year, but Kenyon said it himself on Twitter, and he said it to me before too, that these guys are just going to work their butts off no matter what. And I don't know how you can really kind of hate on a player like players like that. Like, those guys are going to come in and they just fit the Iowa mold, in my opinion. I think they're going to be great for the culture, great for the locker room, and just great overall people in general that are really going to find a good fit in this program and be like a big part of the Iowa success for the next 4 or 5 years. So let's get into some basketball or some football a little bit. Obviously last week, I believe, Cooper DeGene, 2021 athlete from Dylan, help me out here. I've literally written it like Battle so Creek. Many times.
Oh,
yeah, but OABCIG. Yeah, so Odebolt, Arthur, Battle Creek, Ivy Grove. I haven't been able to get that until like last week. Like, it just, I don't know what it was. I could never get that down. So obviously Iowa picked up a commitment from Cooper last week, the multi-sport, four-sport athlete out there in Ida Grove. Really good prospect. Really like this kid. I was looking at him as a safety, but I believe he had like over, I don't know the exact amount, something like 3,000 yards through the air this year and like over 1,000 yards rushing as quarterback. Had like over 40 touchdowns.
I got the actual numbers here, Sean, if you want them.
Yeah, that'd be make me look less dumb.
3,500 yards through the air, 1,300 yards on the ground, and 64 total touchdowns.
Yeah, so, and he's coming to Iowa as a safety. And when you look at the kid, I don't know if you guys have seen pictures. I'm sure you have if you follow us on Twitter, have seen the news. But he looks like a guy that, like, just kind of wants to beat someone up. Like, I'm not saying that in a bad way, but you just look at his build. Like, he just seems like he's got it. Like, I know they're going to put a few more pounds on him, but he kind of looks like he's ready to, like, Big Ten.
Yeah, certainly. I think they got him at 6'2", 195 right now. So,
yeah, I don't know if he's 6. He's probably around, like, 6'1", 6'5". I think the extra 6'2 is maybe a little generous.
But I mean, you know, let's just say he doesn't grow. I mean, 6'1 is still plenty tall enough for safety in the Big Ten. And, you know, you're talking about 195 as, you know, I guess he's a junior right now. So, you know, let's just say he puts 10 more pounds on. He's 205 coming into Iowa. They could probably put 15 to 20 pounds on that frame. So, I mean, he's just, you watch him on film, Sean. He's just a freak. You know, he's faster than everybody. And he doesn't. It's like sneaky fast too. He'll just kind of be rolling out and then he'll take off and he's by you. So you'll look, and some of these kids, they look like they have angles on him in the open field and then the angle just disappears. So it's just one of those guys that Iowa brings in, and they don't really know what they're going to do with him. They just know they want him, and they're just going to figure it out when he gets there. Parker Hesse was the same way. Parker Hesse played, I want to say linebacker and quarterback in high school, and they're just like, you know what? We like your film. We like you. Get in here. I'm a defensive end. And, you know, we know about Parker Hesse's career. So he just feels like one of those kids. And I really, he's probably one of my favorite players in the 2021 class right now, honestly.
I did think in terms of, like, if you just look at his, like, basketball highlights too, like, the way that kid gets off the ground and just how easy he makes it look is just, it's something else. And, yeah, you said it too, like him at safety, like him just everywhere. I know a couple of schools, obviously he had offers from like Illinois State, a couple more FCS programs. I think the Dakota States, both of them offered him. I know Virginia really liked him too at quarterback. I think if he would have waited a little longer, he could have gotten maybe a couple ACC offers as a quarterback, especially if Virginia were to offer because they want him on an official visit. I know he told me that at one point they were, Cavaliers were looking to get him on campus for an official visit, which automatically means an offer. So that would have been really interesting to see him with the ball in his hands. But I know one person told me it's really plugged into Iowa high school football that this kid might be the best like safety to come out of Iowa. I don't know if he meant the state of Iowa, like in terms of high school, but or the University of Iowa. But you look at the kid and it's like, okay, this kid's got a little something to him that you can build around and really – really develop. And I could see it too. I mean, obviously it's a lot of expectations to put on one kid who hasn't even played in a down with Big Ten football yet. Mm-hmm. But you gotta like what you get just looking at him, just watching the film and what others have said about him too, because people have said before, it's like he's playing two-way football. It's like, dude, like you don't dominate two-way football the way he did. And like people say you're not a D1 prospect. Like this kid, he's legit. He's really fun to watch. I'm hoping to see him in the fall at some point make that trek out to Ida Grove. We'll see how much Dave pays me for that, but
worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Definitely a lot to be excited about with this kid. I believe he's the 8th commit in the class. Could be wrong on that one. I don't know why I always get 8 and 9 confused. But I think Iowa's class is now at number 10 nationally and number 10 or number 3 in the Big Ten. According to 24/7 Sports. So you like the start that they're on right now. Obviously, there was not as much in recent months just because they got off to such a fast start, getting those top targets in the fold immediately. So we'll see if things start to pick up a little bit.
Yeah, you were right, Sean. 8 commits. So
yeah.
Never a doubt, right? I'll be honest with you, looking at it, I think he's my favorite prospect right now. Just from an athletic standpoint, I mean, I know they got other guys like Zach Tweit's probably gonna play linebacker, and then you got Jaden Harrell, and then Justice Sullivan probably gonna play linebacker too. But I mean, DeJean's even a guy that could bulk up and play linebacker. You know, I mean, we'll see how tall he gets. But you know, he's a hard hitter. I was watching his film today, and I think it was at the Dome. I don't know if it was in the state championship game. But this poor kid caught one over the middle and he laid him out. And, you know, that's the type of toughness. And, you know, that's what Iowa wants. It's kind of like Jack Kerner. I mean, it's probably not a very good comparison, but you know, you look at the way Jack played for Iowa this fall and, you know, it just kind of reminds you a little bit of him.
Right. And I mentioned the 2A football too. It's like DeJean, he was playing both sides of the ball too. Mm-hmm. Like to have that stamina and to have that sort of just natural athleticism to play both sides of the ball the way he did and then dominate like both sides of the ball the way he did, that's some freaky stuff.
Yeah, I don't think people realize how difficult that is. And then you're racking up, you know, 4,800 yards and over 60 touchdowns. It's just, yeah, I don't care what level of football you're playing at. If you're posting those are video game numbers, like NCAA 2014 numbers. Like, you don't, people don't do that in real life. So if you're doubting this at all, you're sorely mistaken. This kid's a Big Ten football player.
Yeah, and as I said before, he would have gotten more offers. Like, no offense to Idaho, but if he was in like a bigger city, like in Omaha or like, I don't know, Cedar Rapids or Des Moines, he probably would have gotten more offers without a doubt. So let's keep going with the 2021 football recruiting class. Not necessarily a commit, but a guy that's pretty high on Iowa. That's Council Bluffs, Lewis Central four-star tight end Thomas Fedoni, who I got the chance to talk to in the earlier part of the podcast. You can check that out just by going back if you haven't already. So I talked to Thomas for about, I don't know, 25, 30 minutes, something like that. Kind of just talked about really everything going on. Obviously, it's kind of a difficult period for football recruits across the country. You can't visit schools at this point due to the coronavirus, which makes it tough because a lot of kids were hoping to get on campus this month. And then, you know, with official visits starting up here in the next couple months, that would have been big for him too. So he announced his top six earlier this week: Iowa, Nebraska, Michigan, Notre Dame, LSU, and Penn State. And one that he left out too that he was thinking about, probably, I mean, he said he's open. He's keeping it open to six, or he's keeping it open to more than six. Another school he kind of talked about a little bit was Georgia. I thought that was kind of interesting. Said that he really likes the way the tight ends use, how they use the tight ends down there. And just, it's an SEC football program. He said they really like him too. So I thought that was pretty interesting. But yeah, I think I've had my crystal ball in Nebraska for a while, but I moved it a couple weeks back to Foggy. And I think that's where I'm going to keep it for a bit. Obviously, he talked about, too, not wanting to take the official visits to Iowa and Nebraska because he's been up there so many times and he wants to take those official visits to places that he can go, where he, like, farther away places, like probably in Michigan or Penn State, even in Notre Dame. I know he was scheduled to see Notre Dame and Michigan this month or next month, but obviously those are being canceled now. So it's kind of coming down to what I think. I've really thought it was Nebraska, Michigan, and Iowa for a long time. I always thought it was Iowa and Nebraska, but I think Thomas seems to be pretty open to these other schools.
I mean, anytime you get schools like, you know, LSU, Georgia, Ohio State, Penn State coming calling, I mean, it's going to be tempting just because, you know, those are, I mean, for their football factories, pretty much. I mean, you know, LSU just wins the national title. Ohio State was up there. Penn State's been really good the last few years. So, I mean, and his recruitment is so interesting to me, Sean, because Iowa was the first offer, and it was, what, 7 months ago?
And yeah, it was nothing, in July.
Nothing for a month. Then Iowa State offers, and nothing for a month. And then, you know, a couple other Big Ten schools jump in. Then he goes down to the Army All-American Combine, and 14 offers in the next, like, 45 days. So he just kind of exploded here in 2020. And, you know, he's kind of, Iowa, you know, thankfully for them, because they don't win a lot of these battles with these big schools, but they were the first ones to offer. And, you know, that always, you know, you talk to pretty much any kid, and, you know, the first school to kind of put that, you know, hey, we want you, they're always around normally. So, I mean, Iowa probably going to be in it till the end, but, you know, they're battling a lot of the big boys here.
Yeah, and I think it's one that, obviously, I think Iowa could maybe come on top of the end, but I know Nebraska has a lot of pull. I mean, Thomas has been open about it publicly that you grew up a fan of Nebraska, big time fan. It's a lot of family who grew up Huskers. So that obviously has a draw, but he's really been able to separate kind of his fandom from when he was younger to where he's at now with his recruitment, because it's a totally different ballgame when you're being recruited versus when you grow up. You see different sides of the program that maybe you haven't seen before, different kind of ways they want to use you. And like, this is the rest of your life you're talking about. I mean, you can live and die with the team for sure, but like for Thomas, like I know it's still early, but he has a legitimate shot to go to the NFL and be probably one of the top tight ends in college football. He wants to go to the spot where not only he's happy, but the spot where he wants, like he believes that he can be the best player he can be. And there's a lot of factors that go into that. Obviously, you got people in your circle that want you to go different places. You got other friends, whatever. And there's just so much that goes into it. And just it's kind of incredible to see a kid handle it with such maturity that he has.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, obviously, anytime a kid can play high Division I football like this, the ultimate goal is, you know, the next level, play in the NFL. So, I mean, that has to be something that Iowa, you just put, you know, TJ Hockenson and Noah Fant into the NFL just a year ago. So, you know, hey, there's your argument. Like, hey, you know, we're kind of churning these guys out. You know, you want to come to the – I'm going to go to the NFL, like, come here. But, I mean, you know, you look at LSU. I mean, that program is one that could take – if you work your butt off, that program is one that, you know, you can go – it'll take it to the next level. Same with, you know, Michigan, Penn State, and Notre Dame. So, I mean, that's certainly something, you know, Iowa's going to have in their back pocket. Like, hey, you know, we just sent TJ and Noah to the NFL, two first round tight ends, has never been done. You know, but the other programs have a lot of tradition, and you know, this is going to be a tough decision for this kid.
Yeah, like we talk about some of the SEC schools and obviously Iowa, Nebraska, but I mean Michigan and Notre Dame, like Notre Dame's had their fair share of tight ends to come out of that program. You look at the most recent one, Cole Kmet, who actually I played against in high school and was a man child in those sports too at that time. He's going to be a top, I don't know. He said he's probably the top tight end in the draft, but probably be first, second round, somewhere around there. Michigan's had a couple successful ones too recently. There's just so many factors that go into it. It's amazing. It's going to be, yeah, like you said, Dylan, it's going to be a tough decision for Fedoni. I do think he'll be a good fit at any of those programs, but he's a guy that I don't know if can come in right away and make an impact, but a guy that you can definitely is definitely a mismatch nightmare no matter what conference he plays in.
I mean, you watch his film right now, he looks like a miniature version of TJ Hockenson, maybe a little bit more polished than Hockenson was as a junior in high school. But I'll admit I didn't get to see TJ Hockenson much in high school, so I guess I can't really make that.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Make that determination, but you know, you watch the film of him down at the Army All-American Combine, and he's just whipping kids. You know, he's big, he moves like a wide receiver, and he's got reliable hands. So whoever gets this kid's gonna, you know, have a real weapon. He can play inside or he could play outside, and he's just gonna be a matchup nightmare pretty much wherever you put him.
Yep. So if you haven't listened to that portion of the podcast, check it out, the first 25-30 minutes of this show. So let's get into our last topic of this recruiting segment of the podcast. Who do you think, Dylan, the next piece will be in the 2021 class for Iowa football?
Oh, you put me on the spot here a little bit.
Yes, sir.
Well, I feel like I got a couple options here. I feel like I guess it's going to really depend on what happens with these June official visits, Sean. If this coronavirus is still kind of limiting recruiting and kind of what kids can do and, you know, what schools can do, you know, we could see it pushed into the fall, but I'll operate under the assumption that official visits are going to happen in June because I like to think positive. So
there you go.
It's either going to be Brody Brecht or Arlen Bruce. If I had to, you know, gun to my head to say one, I'd probably say Brody Brecht. I think the option to, you know, play baseball and football is really going to be key here. So give me the Ankeny wide receiver.
I hate to really hate or rain on your parade here, Dylan, but I know Brody's told me this week, and then I had someone else tell me a couple of weeks back that he's not really focused on playing baseball right now.
Okay, well, that'll change things then.
So I think that'll be – obviously it's still a possibility, but I don't think it's going to be the deciding factor. I think he's set on playing football for sure. That's going to be definite. I think that's always been definite. But baseball might just be like an extra side bonus that, who knows, could factor into his decision a bit in his mind. But he's told me like that's – he's the main thing is football right now. So I'm with you on getting him. I think he'd be the next pickup. Obviously, Iowa State's done a good job here too, selling him on guys like Hakeem Butler and Alan Lazard. Be similar to those guys in terms of just his skill set and his size too. And I was kind of talking to him about he'd be the tallest wideout in the running in the wide receiver room once he gets if he ends up choosing Iowa. With Amir Smith-Marset and Brandon Smith being gone. So he's a guy that could come in right away, maybe compete with guys like, depending on like Calvin Lockett, Desmond Hudson, those kind of guys, and really give them a run for their money. Because who knows? I mean, Brody's still pretty raw, really good athlete, very good baseball player, as we've seen, as we said, runs pretty fast, great length too, good ball skills, got to work on his route running just a little bit. But I think that's something that can come together once he gets into it, once he gets acquainted, once he really starts focusing on one sport. So I think he's a guy that could come into and make an instant impact. Maybe not right away, but maybe he's like second or third year could be a guy that you see really working in with snaps. And I think Arlen Bruce too. I know a lot of people talked about it as he's just like a Tyrone Tracy clone. You put him wherever, you get him the ball, and you watch him go to work. And I think that's a guy that you got to be really excited about if you get him in the fold. Iowa State's making a big impact here. I've been close to putting in a crystal ball for Iowa for Bruce, but haven't really gotten that feeling yet. Obviously, I said I'm close, but just not ready yet. It's not – no, I'm not going to say what I was about to say, but I'm close. I'll just say that.
Yeah, the thing with Brody, Brody'd probably be the tallest wide receiver in the room right now at 6'4". I think Brandon Smith's probably the tallest at 6'2" and some change maybe.
They said he'd be the tallest, yes, but I think, well, I mean, because Brody's what, 6'?
I think he's 6'4". Legit 6'4".
Yeah. Desmond's listed as 6'4" too. I believe Calvin's like around 6. Oh, Iowa has Desmond at 6'3". So yeah, I mean he'd be the tallest.
Yeah, and I mean when you combine that with the speed that he has too, and you know, I know Sean, you talked about him being a little raw. You got a couple looks at him this fall. I unfortunately was unable to, but you know, he can kind of grow into that home run threat, you know, tall, gonna be reliable in the red zone, and then with that speed, you know, ability to blow by corners, you know, is gonna make him a pretty dynamic threat at the next level if he chooses Iowa or Iowa State.
Right, yeah. 100%. I think he's got a quarterback too that I think a lot of more FBS schools need to take a look at. That's Jace Bauer. 2021 kid has offers from Eastern Illinois, UNI, and Southern Illinois. Really good dual threat quarterback, multi-sport kid. Didn't get a lot of pub this season, but I know he's gotten a lot of buzz this offseason. with those offers. Alan True did a nice article on him and his rise, and I think he's a guy that you might want to keep an eye on for future. I don't know if he's Iowa caliber at this point, but I think he's definitely deserving of a look. I think that about Dylan. You got anything else?
No, that is that's all you're going to get from me tonight, buddy.
What about next week?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I'll have more. I'll have more ammunition by then, hopefully.
We'll be set, though, because, I mean, without Dave, these things runs a lot more smoothly.
Oh, low blow. He's not even here to defend himself, but I would tend to agree.
He's probably like, he probably knows that we said that somehow.
Like telepathy, yeah. No.
Old man yelling at clouds. All right, so with that, that'll be the end of this pod, Swarmcast. We'll try to make this a weekly thing. I don't know about weekly. I've said that before, but probably like once or twice every other week or so. Do our best to make it weekly, but I think it's more realistic
I'll probably just depend on how much recruiting stuff pops up, which, you know, with the dead period till what, April 15th, I just don't see that happening. We might have to get creative, to be honest with you.
I mean, we're good at that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So as always, be sure to check out HawkeyeInsider.com.
And good stuff from Sean Bach and Dylan Byrne. And if you want to follow along with their coverage on Twitter, be sure to follow at SBach247 for Sean, at DByrne247 for Dylan. And my handle is David Eichelt, DavidEichelt. And as I mentioned, we're going to try to churn these out maybe weekly, maybe every other week, really just depending on when there's some real movement or there's a lot of questions from you guys. But hope you enjoy the debut episode. And as always, stay tuned to HawkeyeInsider.com for the latest and most in-depth and complete coverage of the Iowa Hawkeyes.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.